Good morning. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Psalms, Psalm 100. And if you're able, I'd like to ask you to stand as I read from God's Word, please. Psalm 100. Today, looking at, are you prepared for worship? Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful singing. Know that the Lord Himself is God. It is He who has made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name. For the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting and His faithfulness to all generations. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we so thank You that we can worship You freely. And God, instill in our hearts today that it's so important every day, not just Sunday, that we worship You in some way, in some fashion, and that God, we give You a great amount of our time each day so that we can grow in You. Father, let our hearts be disciplined as we hear from Your Holy Spirit today, and let us receive Your Word and its power. And Father, change us today, we pray. And Lord, as I preach this message, let every word come from You through Your Holy Spirit. And God, we give You the honor and the glory and the praise. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now, this sermon came out of the mouth of a friend of mine, the title of it anyway. A couple weeks ago, we were sitting around talking and praying, and as my friend Jeff was saying something, he just comes up and says, are we prepared to worship the Lord? And just like that, the Holy Spirit said, there's your sermon. And so I started praying on this. And Psalm 100, I mean, there's a lot of scripture about worship, but Psalm 100, I think, really pinpoints it best, that every day of our lives, we should prepare ourselves for worship. A lot of people think that Sunday is the only day that we worship. And yeah, Sunday is the day we gather to worship, but it's also important that Monday through Saturday of the week, not only do you prepare yourself for worship on Sunday, but you prepare yourself every single morning, and before you do anything else, worship God and let God pour into you what you need. And then when you do that, little by little, you will see your relationship with God just, it's going to morph into one great mighty bond, and you're going to be so connected with God, you're going to see God work in your life and your prayer times. You will see such an enrichment in your prayer time and also in your spiritual lives. But anyway, let me get into the message because I do have a couple pages of notes, so bear with me. We have to consecrate ourselves. Worship is not a casual encounter. It is an encounter, a holy encounter with God our Father. So when you're coming to church, you have to get yourself set aside. You're coming before God. You're not coming before anybody else. You're not coming before me. You're not coming before Effie or anybody else in the church. You are coming into God's presence, and you have to get yourself ready for that time. Because when we are having a holy encounter with God, that's the best encounter you could ever have in life. When God pours Himself into you and you are receiving from Him, I don't know how many of you have ever had a week or maybe a month or maybe a year that you felt like you've just been battled on, but finally you got to a point where you knew, I've got to give it to God. And you got before the Father and you literally, you didn't know what to say, but you just cry out and say, Father, I can't do this anymore. I need your help. I need to have an encounter with you. And then how many of you have ever felt God just touch you with the mighty power of his hand and release into you what I consider his form of energy and power, and there's nothing else that can compare to it, and he lifts you up above your problems and you start to feel much lighter. So you're coming into a holy encounter with God the Father. He is the one who made us, and that's what God created us for. God created us so that we would worship him and that we could have fellowship with him. Now, there's also a principle of separation. Just like when Moses sanctified the people of Mount Sinai, we must set ourselves apart before approaching God. And here's what I mean. We cannot be caught up in the things of the flesh. Our minds cannot be caught up with troubles in life. We have to empty ourselves so that we can come to God and then be filled by his power. So when you're coming to God, you've got to cleanse yourself of every worldly thing. You've got to get rid of the flesh. You have got to get rid of your worries, your troubles, your anxieties, your mind, and your heart. I say first, the heart needs to be aligned with God, because when you've got your heart aligned with God, your mind will align with that, but you must allow no distractions at all. So this is one thing. Now, you don't have to do it this way, but this is how I like to do it. Before I come to church on Sunday, before I get going with my day during the week, I like to say, Father, I empty myself of everything. I don't care what's going on in life. I give it to you. I present my life before you, a living sacrifice. So, Father, I don't care what happened yesterday or the day before. I give it all to you because I don't want anything to stand in the way of me having a real worship encounter with you. But sadly, there's a lot of people will hit the door of the church and they're thinking about what happened, what they saw on the news, what went on yesterday, what the doctor said last week. And they come to church and their minds are so filled and their hearts are so heavy and weighed down with anxiety, they find it difficult to pay attention and to receive from God. Now, I want to say this, and listen very carefully. When you come into church, you may have had a hard week or hard, difficult 2 weeks, whatever, and that's okay. If you come into God's house and you come in broken, it's okay to come in broken because you need a touch from the Master. But you have to leave your problems outside. You have to get them flushed out of you in order for God to fill you with his anointing power. If we have all this other stuff going on inside of us, then God can't fill us with the good things that he's wanting to give to us. We cannot receive from his Holy Spirit. And when we worship, we have to worship joyfully. Let your heart be glad before God. And why? Because God's given us everything. God's given you the ability to be happy. I saw a picture one time, a cartoon, and there was a bus. And on this side of the bus sat one guy, and there was sunshine, and he was smiling and happy. And on the other side of the bus, in the other seat, there was a guy, and it was gray and dark, and he looked sad and depressed and pitiful. And the caption at the bottom said, how you view your day, it's your choice. And I want you to know that. Jesus died for you to give you life and to give it abundantly. He rose from the dead. He's coming again. So you and I should be rejoicing in that. And when we come to church, yes, there's things going on in our life, and there's a lot of people may never know the depth of what we're feeling. Sometimes people come in and they do have a heavy heart, and I believe it's up to us to reach out and minister to them. But if we would rejoice in the Lord when we worship, we will see Him moving away. I'll give you this little illustration real quick. When there's a storm on the horizon and a storm is ferocious, do you know that an eagle does not fly through the storm? You know what the eagle does? The eagle positions itself and gets up above the storm clouds, and the eagle goes to a place where there is peace and serenity, and the eagle flies above the storm because he knows he can navigate that atmosphere. I want to challenge you today, if you're going through a storm, I want you to position yourself before God and allow God to elevate you and put you in an atmosphere of praise that you can navigate, that you can go through, because when you're praising God and you're focused on Him, you're going to be less likely to be focused on the problems that's going on in your life. Now, God made you His very own. We are a part of a true, royal, holy family. Do you realize that you are a child of God? You've got a name. Effie Brimmer has a name. She's got a first, middle, and a last name. And that's how we know, that's how we identify her. But she's also identified in a greater way. She's a child of God. God created Effie. God created Janine. God created Bob Thomas. He created everybody. And if you are His child, you have to know and associate yourself with that family. You are not a part of the devil's family, so quit acting like it. The moment that you got saved, you were brought into the family of God. Your name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and everything was made brand new. So God made a way for you to be reunited, reconnected to Him. And if God made a way to reconnect us to Him, then we ought to get off of our duffs. I'll say it the nice way. Or get off your rear end. We'll go there. Get off our rear ends and start serving Him. And we need to serve God like we mean it. A lot of people go around through life, well, I got plenty of time to get right with God. I've got other things. Well, let me tell you, today could be your very last day. And if you die and stand before God, what are you going to say then? You know, now I'm going to speak to the men, okay? I like sports. I like football. I like basketball. I like polo. I like baseball. Yeah, but you know what? When I'm coming to church, I don't care if there's a game on after church or not. I don't care if it's even a championship game. I can watch a rerun. I can watch the highlights of it. But if it's got to do with church, I would rather be at church. I would rather church run over instead of sitting there looking at my watch wondering what time we're going to get out to go have lunch and then go watch the ball game. That stuff doesn't matter. When we come into God's house and we know we're His children, we should be the ones that the world is looking at and that the world is saying, I want what that person's got. And we are the ones who are to be broadcasting that before a dark and dying world. There's no other way, but if people would see us worship, and I want to tell you this, every single one of us worships in a whole different way. Now, when I was young and dumb, I didn't know a whole lot about Christianity, and I didn't know, I mean, yeah, I was raised up in church. My mom and dad made sure we were on the, because they wanted to get us out of the house, I'm sure. Me and my sister, they'd put us on the church bus. I knew I'd heard so much about God, but I didn't know anything about Him. I heard about Him. But I remember I walked into a church one Sunday morning. A friend invited me, and I won't say what church, where it's at, but it's here in Southern Illinois. And we went to Sunday school, and we got out of Sunday school, and we get to the auditorium. And when we walked in the auditorium, now I want to tell you this, I ain't knocking this guy, I'm not judging him, but this is kind of what I seen. This fellow was running laps, and church hadn't even started, and he's in the sanctuary running. And then he fell down up front, and he starts growling and flopping in the floor, and I was, here I am, a new Christian, I'm thinking, wow, what have I gotten myself into? And I asked my friend, I said, what's wrong with that fella? And she said, well, he's getting into the spirit. Well, I want you to know, now there's a lot of people who worship different ways, and we have to be careful how we cast judgment. But each of us, we worship God in our own way. We have to ask God, Lord, how do you want me to worship? And then we have to make sure that we spend time doing such. Now, like I said, I wasn't judging that fella, but I just felt something was really off. But when I know when I worship the Lord, I get happy. I don't sing pretty, but I go off sometimes in our little room at the house and shut the door, and I get the hymn book out. I may not be on the right key, Effie, but I get in that book and start singing. I try to, you know, get the sound of the song in my head. But I don't care how it sounds. But when I get done, and sometimes when I get down and worship, I cry. And it's not because I'm sad, but I cry because I'm happy for what God has done in my life. I look around at everything He's given to me and blessed me with, and I'm thinking, this is what the Lord has done. And I don't ever want to take advantage of that. Now, secondly, is the condition of your heart. True worship begins long before the first song is ever sung. And I'm going to do this part. Expectancy. We must come to God with a faith-filled expectation. We must believe by faith that God will move rather than going through the emotions. When you come to church, it is not supposed to be an emotional experience. You come to church, it is a spiritual experience. It's a life-changing, transforming, I want to call it a metamorphosis that should happen in the spirit realm. But true worship, before we ever get here and sing, we ought to be worshiping God when we get out of bed. And when we come to church, Father, I'm expecting you to just pour into me what I need today. I'm expecting you to answer prayers according to your will for my life. When we were heading to church this morning, I was already thanking God that we could go to church for the sunshine. And I'm gonna jump ahead in my sermon. I jumped ahead in Sunday school. But I didn't even study the lesson either. So, but anyway, we were praising God on before we even got here, setting the stage, as you could call it, for God to pour into us what we needed. So before the song is sung, I'm already praising God within my heart. I'm rejoicing in Him. And when we do sing, I love it. I love it. Whether we open up a hymn book or whether we sing a contemporary song, whether you have music or no music at all, come to God with the faith-filled expectations and set aside the emotional part. Humility. We have to approach God with a spirit and an attitude that seeks to please Him rather than seeking to be entertained or impressed. Now, I want to point on something, or point on this. A lot of people go to church, and I've heard this, so I ain't judging nobody, but I've heard people say and do this. Well, the song service wasn't that great today, so it was a bad worship service. Boy, the choir was flat. The musicians were flat. They were off key. It was just terrible. And did you hear how so-and-so sounded like a hound dog been shot in the rear end? Yeah, boy, the music was terrible. We come to church sometimes thinking that we're here to be entertained, and we're not. And we're not here to be impressed by what people are doing. We are here for God. Our attitude has to show that. Now, back when I was in high school at Third Baptist Church at Marion, we had two girls sing one morning, and this really happened. One girl was trained in opera. When this girl hit a high note, oh my goodness, people was out of their seats clapping. You thought we got Pentecostal there for a while. It's how everybody was acting. And then the second girl got up. Now she wasn't as gifted a singer, and she was off key. But you know what? When she got done, people just kind of was like, nobody stood up. And it really hurt her and her family. And the pastor, our pastor, Brother Frank Trotter, got up there next Sunday, and he said, I want to share something with everybody. He said, whenever somebody comes up here to sing, he said, I don't want you to applaud them. You're not applauding what they're doing. He said, I want you to keep your focus on God. And that's true. Sometimes when we go to church, we get all revved up if there's a praise team, and man, they're sounding good, and boy, the beat's just a-going, and everybody's on their feet and they're clapping. And when they leave church, it's an emotional high, and they never got plugged into God, but they were there for the emotional part of it. And yeah, they got their emotions lifted up. And oh man, I'm on fire. And then the first time a trial smacks them in the face, they're brought down low because they did not experience a true worship with God. So whatever happens up here, this ain't a show. What we're doing up here, your instrumentalist, our song leader, your preacher, whoever's up here singing a special or whatever's going on, it's not about them. It's about God. And we should, and every time this one girl would get ready to sing at church, oh, everybody, oh, yeah, boy, Jennifer sing. Oh, man, she can sing opera. Oh, man. And everybody would just be crazy out of their seats. But anytime some other folks got up there to sing, there wasn't the same response. Our response is to what God is doing at the worship service. We are not here to be entertained. So I've pastored churches where we had no musicians, and we would get a book out and we would start singing, and some people would tell me, well, Brother Jim, this just ain't right. I go, what do you mean it ain't right? Well, we need to have somebody playing the piano. Really? Where is that? Is there a worship instruction book that I'm missing somewhere? I said, if you pull out a song book and you start singing to God and you're singing from your heart and you're singing to Him, then what does it matter if we had a musician or not? Now, I told you the story about time that man and his wife, that interim pastor, when I wouldn't run them ladies out of church, he said, well, we're going to leave. You ain't got a piano player this morning. I said, that's fine. We'll sing Acapulco style. Acapella. We sang that morning without music. But I told him, I said, God will take care of bringing us musicians if we're supposed to have them. And that night, a lady showed up at church, first time I'd ever seen her and her husband. Brother Jim, she said, are you looking for a piano player? Because she goes, I play the piano and I'd be glad to play for you. I said, yes, ma'am, we need one. And she said, well, you don't have to pay me. I said, well, good, because the Lord's going to have to be your benefit. But anyway, God, when we do it for God, He will move and He will make things happen. Focus. You must come before God 100% ready. No distractions, no worries, no flesh involved. Offer God your undivided attention span. Now I'm going to go ahead and get to the next part. Preparing for worship. Now this is so important, and I hope that all of us will take this to heart. Make getting rest or sleep a major priority on Saturday night. Going to bed early on Saturday night and getting adequate sleep so that you can be fully alert. So that means turn off the TV early, turn off your phone, your tablet, your computer, quit talking to your neighbor down the road on the phone, put down your book or your magazine, whatever it is, and look at your watch and you know, well, if I go to sleep now, I'll get a good night's rest and I can get up the next morning and I won't look like that I ain't had sleep for a week. Because I've seen some people look like zombies in church. Oh man, I stayed up late last night. What'd you do last night? Well, there was this great ball game. And preacher, if I fall asleep during church, just don't mind me. That's the saddest thing in the world when we put other things before God. If we know we're coming to church Sunday morning, get to bed early, get up, and get ready to receive the most abundant blessing when you worship and praise Him. And then now, having private worship during the week. Now, Monday through Saturday, we always need to worship. And we can do that through Bible reading, through devotions, singing songs and praying. Because when you're before God, now, for those of you who still work, how many of you know you get up Monday morning, oh, it's another work day, another week. Oh, I wish I had a vacation. I hear people like that all the time. But on Monday morning, get up and say, God, thank you that today I'm out of bed. I can walk. Yeah, I've got aches and pains, and it may take me a few minutes to get down on the floor, but I bow before the Lord, and if my back hurts and I can't bow enough, I'll go sit on the couch. But I'll sit there, and I want my day hemmed in prayer. I want to start my day with Bible reading, and I want to start my day rejoicing in God. Because when I go to work, I work around people who live in the world. I'm around people who could care less about God, and I'm the one who sticks out like a sore thumb. Now, there's a few other Christians I work with, and they make it known that they're Christians. I make it known that I'm a Christian, but I'll tell you what, when I worship God every morning of the week, it sets up my day to be filled with an exuberant joy. It's a joy that I can't get anywhere else. It's always everlasting. It's not temporary. So then when things happen at work, though human mind, the flesh will get in the way. But this is where we're learning together. But if we would take situations before the Lord in our day, and know that God has our day and that God is walking with us and He's leading and guiding us, we'll have every more reason to praise Him and to trust Him more even when things go south or go wrong for us. Now, praying for the service. We have to pray specifically for the Holy Spirit to fill and lead the worship service. Now, it ain't about the preacher. It ain't about the music leader. It ain't about the instrumentalist. leading. It ain't about them. It's about the Holy Spirit leading. And because the Holy Spirit knows what's going on in your heart and life. And you never know. There may be that Sunday morning that you walked in and you needed a touch from God. And if the Holy Spirit is moving and working in the worship service, maybe that would be the Sunday that He touches you and lifts you out of the deep mire that you've been in. But we have to pray, as I said earlier, for our instrumentalists. We have to pray for the one leading the songs. We have to pray for our pastors and the sermon that they preach. We have to pray that lives and hearts will get changed, that somebody will get saved, that families will be maybe brought back together, relationships in the church reunited and restored. But when we come, we have to ask the Holy Spirit to do these things. It ain't going to happen any other way. You and I can't make it happen. But if we let the Holy Spirit of God work like it wants to work, things will happen in the church service, and you cannot be afraid when the Holy Spirit does move. Now, that ain't going to cause me to jump and run across pews, so don't worry about that. You'll never catch me running across the top of these seats. But I've seen that happen. We need to get families involved in church. And the only way to be an effective witness is to ask the Holy Spirit to speak through us when we talk to other people. When we're out in public, we're the ones that if we're showing the light, if people can see Jesus in us, they're going to be more likely to listen to what we have to say. They're going to pay attention, and seeds will be planted. And we talked about seeds today. We talked about seeds coming to church. We talked about seeds in Sunday school. And I'm telling you now, we need to be the ones who are planting seeds. And we let the Holy Spirit do the work to bring those to Christ. Now, the result of being ready for worship, the encounter with God. When we prepare ourselves, we will be fully ready to receive an outpouring from God. We will be filled with a true joy, and our lives will be changed completely. And it'll make us more disciplined to worship God daily. So when we're ready and when we start growing, it just becomes a natural part of your life. You don't want to get out of bed and turn on the TV and see what the news says. You don't want to turn on the computer or get out the tablet and see what's happening on social media. Who cares about any of that? I don't. But when I get up, I want to know that I am prepped and ready to have an encounter with God, because I want my life to be changed. I want to grow in Him. I want to experience His power in every area of my life. And it has to be done daily, not just Sunday or Wednesday. Now, a lot of people, I'm just going to say this, I used to live this way. Before I started preaching, I got saved. I'd go to church Sunday. Man, I thought I was good enough. And during the week, I'd still live like the world. And finally, it kind of hit me between the eyes that doing this one day a week stuff, it wasn't helping me at all. I was having more of a difficult life than I wanted. And I found out when I started to submit each day to God. Now, it's taken a long time for me to grow where I'm at now, but I ain't done growing. I still got a lot more to learn. But I'll tell you this, I've come a long way from where I once was to where I am right now. And it's all because I decided I didn't want to be a casual Christian. And that's what we're seeing in our world today. We're seeing people saying, well, I go to church on Sunday, I'm good. No, worship happens every day of our life. And the life transformation, it prepares and ensures that we are in a position to be reshaped into the image of Christ. And who's going to see that joy in us? The world. Lord, let me be like Jesus. Father, we can't be perfect now in the flesh, but this we can pray. God, let the world see Jesus in me. Let me make the difference in my home, in my church, my workplace, when I'm out in the community. If people come to my business, whatever it is, I want people to see the Lord radiating from within me. How many of you have ever been around somebody and you knew they had the power of God in their life because you could really feel it when you got around them? Now, I'll say this, we're human, and even those who have that kind of love and power radiating from them, they still go through difficult times, and they still need minister to as well because they're not perfect and they never will be. But we ought to strive every day for our lives to be that way, to show the world that we have been changed by God's power. So I want to challenge you and encourage you from this message today. It's not trying to change anything about your, well, I'm not going to say that. Let me leave that out. But I want to challenge you to worship every day. I want to challenge you to worship God before you come to church on Sunday and Monday through Saturday. I want to challenge you to do this, and I want you to see God start doing things in your life. We ought to be like a sponge thrown into a bucket of water. You know what happens when a dry sponge? Now, I ain't saying anybody's a dry sponge, okay? So don't go out of here today saying, well, Brother Jim said we's a bunch of dry sponges. No. But when you take a dry sponge and throw it in a bucket of water, man, it just sucks up everything in that bucket. And that's how we ought to be with God. Father, I want to be like a sponge thrown in a bucket. I want to absorb everything of you that I can. Because what happens when you pick up that sponge out of the water and you wring it? Man, all that stuff just comes flowing out of it. We ought to be asking God to fill us in such a way that when people get around us, they see it just flowing out of us. They can feel it. They can experience it. They can see it in your words, in your actions, and how you live your life. So I want to challenge you today. Are you prepared to worship? If you're not, I want to challenge you to prepare yourself each day of the week to be ready to worship, to receive from God.